The most rewarding thing of all of this is seeing people with their braids. So when they send us pictures, when they send us videos, when they write a review, that's honestly the most rewarding thing. Like, all these little things matter so that I can keep getting more people, more women in our plant-based braiding here.
Hey, my name is Danielle Devins, and I am co-CEO of Bold Exchange, the most convenient way to buy Black online. We are also a proud sponsor of Max Out Time with AJ2, so be sure to subscribe, like, comment, share this episode far and wide. In honor of Black Business Month, which is August, we are having special conversations with our favorite entrepreneurs, investors, and supporters of Black businesses, and we will be sharing all of them here on Max Out Time with AJ2, so be sure to tune in. Today, I'm really excited to be joined by my friend and fellow entrepreneur, Sierra May. Sierra is the founder and CEO of Rebundle, which is the only U.S. maker of plant-based braiding hair. Sierra, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, of course. So I know this story pretty well, but tell everyone who's listening and watching how you came to learn about the solution that Rebundle eventually came and created.
Yeah, so you know when you met me that I had a fade. And once we were placed with BFA and I, had a job secured, I decided to grow my hair out. And it was during that time that I was working at HBCU, was getting really into sustainability, trying to make new habits, trying to be a better steward of the planet and our environment, and learned a bit more about braiding hair and what it was made out of and its origins. And the reason I even started researching it is because my scalp was really inflamed and irritated from the plastic hair that I was wearing. So it just so happened that, I was having this experience and also looking into sustainability and kind of was reading up on it and was astounded that not only was it made out of plastic, but it's made out of a plastic that is really terrible for the environment. It's a hard to recycle plastic. And I just felt like if I was going to continue this journey of being a sustainable person, then I would have to come up with a solution for my hair. Didn't find anything readily available, and through additional R&D and time, decided that if I wanted something that was going to be good for me and good for the planet, that I would have to create it myself.
Yeah, I definitely remember that time, and you were doing so much research. It was always like, I felt like you always had a new discovery every time I saw you. But what were the, once you decided, okay, this is an actual opportunity for a business, like, what were some of the things that you went through and, research you did and kind of milestones you hit before you even landed on your current product?
I learned a lot about customer discovery in grad school. So I spent a lot of time just talking to people who wore braids, mostly like on the phone, but, we went to Detroit, we were speaking to people in person when that was safe. And spent just a lot of time trying to understand people's experience with the problem, how large it was, how many people, if I could quantify, like how many people were actually having this experience, and also trying to get an idea of how many people were also thinking about the sustainability of it, if they were thinking about the waste being created. I used that data to kind of inform like the direction that I wanted to go with the company. So I spoke to some material scientists, ordered a lab test on two popular brands to try to get a deeper understanding of what it was made out of, turned that data over to a chemist so we could figure out like if we're going to make something, like what do we absolutely not want in it, and kind of started from there. So it was a lot of back and forth figuring out like what's bad and then what is an alternative for that. And that that back and forth is how we landed on plant fibers instead of instead of plastic fibers.
It's interesting you bring up like Detroit and BFA. Sierra and I met through Venture for America, which is a postgraduate program, a fellowship that sends somewhat recent college graduates to work at startups and similar organizations across the country. And we actually spent our fellowship in Charlotte together. So I'm sure there are people that are listening or watching right now that are thinking about building their own business or currently building something, a side hustle, what have you. What are some of the unexpected challenges or rewards that people don't tell you about before you get started?
Challenges, everything takes longer than you think, especially making physical products. It always takes longer. And even when you've, you know, reached a certain point, there's additional work that's go into it. New R&D, new things that you learn that have to be fixed, and all those things are going to take longer than you would hope or you would think. But what's rewarding is when, you know, in that same vein, like you see the progress. We've been in production since March of this year, and we've learned so much in that short amount of time. We've made improvements. We've hired. We've gotten things right. You know, may have gotten some things wrong early on, but now we're able to get them right. So that's really rewarding. It makes us feel really good about the direction that we're headed in when we're able to like see our progress.
Well, I'm so excited for what's next. I can't even imagine what you will have conquered and created and just iterated on by this time next year. A lot of people say that Black women entrepreneurs are over-mentored and underfunded. You've done a bunch of programs. Tell me more about, you know, that program versus like funding, the mentorship versus, you know, the hard cash resources and how you've balanced all of that being bootstrapped mostly so far.
Yeah, I think it really depends on whether or not the mentorship is useful. It depends on the community that's cultivated, the program, the structure, but obviously cash is always going to be helpful. Not everything I've participated in comes with money, but I also don't apply to a lot of stuff that does not come with money because I needed money. So I think that it's probably a 60-40 split between things I participated in that have some sort of funding attached to it versus the other 40 did not. And usually that 40 is like those, that 40% of programs or activities involve things that resources that I was actually looking for. So whether that be help with figuring out whether or not I was going to fundraise, whether that was helping me build my team, no matter what it was, there was always some value to it, but I understand what people mean when they say they're over-mentored because that's usually a component of any program is some form of mentorship, whether you need it or not.
Yeah. Another thing, of course, that's important in business is marketing, and a piece of that is publicity. And I will never forget that day in January when you had announced that you were launching pre-orders, a first run of pre-orders for Rebundle. And that tweet from Sherelle Dorsey of The Plug went insanely viral to the tune of like 25,000 retweets and likes. Just walk me through, like, what was that like, that day, the days and weeks after getting so much publicity so early in your like public phase of your business?
Yeah, much of that time is honestly a blur, but because the after effects were low-key traumatizing. But, you know, people wish and pray and spend money for the level of publicity that we've received, and we haven't had to do that. It's mostly been inbound and mostly good things. But I think that first tweet, and there were several tweets that went viral that day, but that one always sticks out to me. But that tweet just kind of set off a ripple effect of crazy sales. And I've said this a few times now, I didn't set an inventory cap on that first, those first few weeks of pre-orders because we hadn't proven that there was real market demand. We had proven that, you know, there was interest and we had a small list of subscribers, but we hadn't done, you know, this is how you prove market demand. So it's like, let's see what people want. And so when you have tweets that go viral, it's like, okay, this is kind of skewed now. And how do we manage this? So, you know, I remember texting you, what do I do? Like, I don't know how to control this. I had no idea. And you usually can't plan for things going viral, but I genuinely had no idea what to do with that level of publicity that early on. And it gave me a lot of positive feelings, but also a lot of pressure to, you know, be in the spotlight so early on. I think we've been able to, you know, help control the narrative and thought leadership and people being able to engage with us and understand what it is that we're trying to do because of all that publicity. But there's also such thing as too much. So we're trying to like, you know, be more intentional about who we're speaking to and the channels that we're sharing our stories with, because it can be really overwhelming.
Yeah, I can imagine that being even more like scary and all consuming being a solo founder. You have a team, you've had a great, you know, team from the beginning, but what was that like just navigating those early days, knowing that this was, you know, at the end of the day, this is your company more than anybody else's? Like, what was that like being a solo founder throughout so many different things from research to product to now where you are?
Yeah, it's definitely very scary. I am able to rely on people. I'm able to rely on Danielle and my other Danielle and, you know, friends and family. But at the end of the day, you know, I have to make the decisions. I have to think through the strategy. I have to maintain our inventory and work on supply chain. And it's just a never ending cycle of decisions that have to be made. And no matter what advice I get from anyone, it's always me who has to make those choices and, you know, answer to those decisions. So it's definitely, you know, part of the job. I wouldn't say it's like my favorite part, but, you know, I'm just understanding that I don't always have to have the right answers. I always have people who I can rely on to help me make the best choices.
Now, of course, you are not just a Black woman founder. You also make products for Black people and alongside a team that is largely, if not entirely, Black women. What is that like? Like, is it, do you walk into the Rebundle office and you're like, yes, Black woman power? Like, what are there, you know, I know there are so many challenges starting a business in general, being a Black woman founder, but what are some of the rewards that are unique to this experience?
The most rewarding thing of all of this is seeing people with their braids. So when they send us pictures, when they send us videos, when they write a review, that's honestly the most rewarding thing. Like it's not that I forget what it is I'm, you know, working towards during the day, but when I see people like in their braids and happy, it's refreshing. And it reminds me like, all right, let me just, you know, reply to this email, take this paperwork downtown, like whatever it is, it just reminds me like all these little things matter so that I can keep getting more people, more women in our plant-based branding here.
What's the feedback? What do you hear? What are the like emails that you get, comments? Like, what has that been like so far?
No one is prepared for the texture difference. They're like, I was not expecting that. But after they interact with it and they wear it, they're like, honestly, it doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. Or if they, you know, if they don't prefer that texture, they're still very happy and, you know, celebrating that we're heading in this direction. So I love seeing like all the different styles. People are getting box braids, they're getting feed-ins, which I always get feed-ins because they're fast and easy. And, you know, they're not experiencing any irritation, which was the point. I needed something that was not going to bother me and I could like wake up in the morning, go to work and not be scratching my head all day in a work environment. Right. And that was the point of it all.
So you said that there's kind of a texture difference. I kind of know what it's like, both like having in and working with doing the braids for like the plastic stuff. I haven't gotten my Rebundle hair installed yet, but soon come. What is the texture difference? Is it softer? Is it kind of, tell me more. It's banana fiber, so I'm sure it's a bit different.
In short, it's coarser. It would match like coarser textured hair a little bit better. But, you know, we've seen it with mixed in with a bunch of different textures. So it works. And that's like the point. It works. And the reason for that is because banana fibers are, you know, they're thicker than a plastic. There's a such thing as like a denier of a fiber. And synthetic hair is much smaller versus banana fiber that's naturally extracted. We're not doing any chemical manipulation to it. It's thicker. So you'll notice some of those differences in the way that it moves because, you know, it's not a flimsy plastic. So, you know, we're still learning and figuring out like how to continue to meet people's needs, but you know, it works, it looks good and it doesn't itch.
That's the goal. I know from the beginning, that's been a piece of this is like, of course the environment, that's really important, but getting rid of that itch is also critical. Like you don't want to spend $200 on a style and then be like, should I take this out?
You got to take it down the next day. Like, yeah. No.
That's terrible.
It's not it.
Yeah. That's like the worst I can imagine. So what's next? What's coming up for Rebundle? Is there anything that can give us a sneak peek on?
We are just trying to grow sustainably and responsibly. So What that looks like for us is being able to provide more products, being able to, you know, stay in stock, moving all the pieces to be able to do that. And, you know, as I said, we didn't expect to grow this quickly. So we're having to kind of rework some of our original assumptions around what growth looks like in year one. You know, we're looking at, you know, basically this is year two growth. And how do we, you know, accelerate some of those things so that we can do them well, bring in the right people to help us do that. So, you know, we're hiring, there's a position posted on our website, and we're just trying to grow.
That's awesome. Well, I don't want to cut this off just yet. We're going to do some rapid fire questions. But for everyone listening, make sure you subscribe, you comment, you share this with everybody that you know that would love this episode. And with that, let's go into, I just have five rapid fire questions. Whatever comes to mind, let me know. Favorite shade of Rebundle hair?
Auburn.
Go-to style with Rebundle hair?
Straybeck, Speedin.
Another eco-friendly brand that you admire?
Getting into Amy Cole. I haven't tried it yet, but I've been reading up on them. It's clean, which is a subset of sustainable products. So I'm gonna check them out.
What kind of products are those?
Skincare, makeup.
Okay. A Black entrepreneur that inspires you?
Issa Rae, every time.
Love that. And your favorite moment of your entrepreneurship journey so far?
Talking to customers. I just love hearing what they have to say, good and bad. It just reminds me, like, you know, keep doing what we're doing, and you know, there's always room for improvement. So love that. Love them.
Awesome. Okay. So how can people support Rebundle right now, and where can they find you?
You can follow us on Instagram at rebundle.co. We tweet as well. And yeah, subscribe to our newsletter. It's the best way to stay up to date on restocks, and just, yeah, reach out.
Congratulations on all your success. And I'm happy to be here for the rest.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Everyone listening, subscribe to Max Out Time with AJ2 below, like on Facebook, follow on Instagram, Twitter, and rate and review this show on all podcast streaming platforms today. Let us know your thoughts on the series. And you can also subscribe to our email list and follow Bold Exchange at bold_exchange on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And you can check us out at bold.exchange.com. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll talk to you soon. To the max, took off, never looked back. AJ set the record straight, tune in, gonna let it play. Doing this for the real city, get hit cause the real with it. Stop tripping, never look, Max out with your favorite host.